My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? You may be seated. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you cover this time. Lord, I know that your word is not only a heavy word, but man, it's such a needed word. Lord, help me to communicate it effectively in any part that you want to change, adjust, or dive deeper in. Lord, I am your vessel. Do what you want to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to save a place that we're going to go to in a few minutes. So if you want to go ahead and have James 1:19 ready to go, we'll go there in just a minute. But I'm going to set the stage a little bit, and then I'm going to read a story or a group of scriptures that are found in the Message. They're going to be on the screen, but there's quite a bit of it, and I doubt many of you are carrying multiple Bibles. And so have James ready, James 1:19. We're going to go there in a minute. And then if you have something to take notes on, whether it's a note page inside of your Bible or something, today is it going to be a day of notes. I also have these available online. If they're not there currently when you check the app, they will be. The other thing I would say is there are a lot of updates, events-wise, and all kinds of things going on. Like, for instance, Primetimers this Tuesday. Next Saturday is the Awaken OKC event. There's a ton of things going on, and I don't want you to miss it. The best way that you can stay in the know on what's going on is to grab the church app. You can get that from our website. You can get it from our Facebook. The various links that we share, there's a bulletin insert with a QR code on the back of it. But you can get all of those links and updates there, and the app is going to be the most up-to-date thing. So not only can you give there, listen to sermons there, previous sermons there, current sermons, all the above, but you can also see the events. And there's one ask that I posted on last night that is found there, and that's the Awaken event. I'm in charge of setup and teardown as well as greeters, and I have nobody on my list of folks. And so if you'll check out the link that I shared on our Facebook page or on the event for Awaken OKC October 8th, there is a link there that takes you to a volunteer page to where you fill out your information and you pick where you want. I would love you to help me set up for the event and break down things for the event when we're done, because we're renting a space, not us, but us collectively. This is a big C church thing, and each of the ministries, each of the churches are responsible for bringing volunteers to just flood the place with help. So we have a number of areas. If one of those areas is not your area, but you want to be an usher or a greeter or a security guy or whatever, the ask is there. I would love for you to participate. And the thing that John said, God has been doing this a lot lately, but revival is about to break forward. And God is looking for people that are ready to go, ready to be intercessors, ready to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so so you're going to hear it in this message, but I just encourage you, don't miss out on what God is doing, because I believe that it's going to start in an event like this, and then it's going to fan out into a bunch of house events and church, you know, inside our church events and various things. But it's going to be a powerful time. I want to share so much more, but I feel that I need to get into the word. So check out our links and check out the app to stay updated on those. And then if you have any questions, let myself, Christy, or Amber know in the front office, and we can definitely fill in any gaps that there are. All right, so today I want to set the stage a little bit so you know where I'm coming from, and not only the seriousness of the message, the importance of the message. I'm going to try to mix in some levity, because you know me, and you know it's a lot easier to take this if there's some lightheartedness and we're family. And so a few weeks back, the Lord prompted me and a few of the leaders that the Lord highlighted to me to pray and to fast, and to ask the Lord for direction, ask the Lord for insight into blind spots, various things that he wanted to say. And one of the things that came out of that, there's a lot, but one of the things that came out of that was a spirit of pride and ego. He said, I want you to deal with the spirit of pride and ego. And just so you know, no one is exempt for that. So my first response was like, God, do I have a spirit of pride or ego? And he said, no. But you need to be like the men that I've raised up, that I've shown you in Scripture, that are on guard, because everyone can fall into that. Everyone can fall into that. So I want you to be on guard. And so if you know me or if you don't know me, I'll tell you. I surround myself with a multitude of counsel, a multitude of people that I talk to that have input in my life that can tell me you're on track or you're off track, all the above, because the Word of God tells us that it is wise to receive counsel. The other thing I would tell you is, I don't know if you know this or not, but when my sons, including Isaiah there, who's talking on the front row, I'm just messing with them. I'm not that bad. But including Isaiah, there have been times that the Lord has used Holy Spirit through them to correct me. And I can choose to be dad and like, you don't get to talk to me like that. Or I could choose to be son of the Father and say, I received that correction. Why? Because I want to model that for them. I can be corrected by someone younger than me. Can you? I can be corrected by someone older than me. Can you? Well, who are you? You're not my father or mother. You didn't birth me. It doesn't matter. If they're doing it in love, you are to receive it, to bless them for it, to thank them for it. Ouch. Thank you. I needed that. Right? We talked about it last week. So just making sure we're all on the same page before we jump into this. And so, the Lord wanted me to give a few definitions as we go through this. And just so you know, you'll see how much is here when you see the notes online. There's a lot here. I'm not going to go through all of it because some of the elements I believe the Lord has kind of brought out from his Spirit throughout our time this morning. And so I'm going to give you highlights. I'm going to give you scripture points. But I encourage you to do your own research and to also start with some of that I've done for you. So we're going to start off with the definition of pride. One of the Bible dictionaries that I used gave me these. I can share that if you are curious. But this dictionary said it refers to an unwarranted attitude of confidence. So this isn't like being prideful in your work and being, hey, man, I did a good job. You know, it's not that. It's unwarranted. It's you having a weird attitude about you that, man, your poop don't stink. And I don't know if you know this, but that doesn't apply to anyone, okay? While pride can have a positive connotation of self-worth or boasting, it is often used in Scripture to refer to an unhealthy, elevated view of oneself, their abilities, or their possessions. All right, are you with me? I have my computer up here today, so I'm going to make just one adjustment to my mic because it is driving me nuts. See if that's any better. Yeah, that's better. Okay, a few scriptures that I have, I want to read these quickly. I did not give these to the crew back there, but the first scripture that came to my mind is Proverbs 16:5. It says that the Lord detests. All the proud of heart. Be sure of this. This is serious. They will not go unpunished. The Lord hates it, okay? Are you with me? Setting the groundwork. Does God love pride? The answer is no. And we can be sure of this. They that walk in pride will not go unpunished. Verse 18 in the same chapter, 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. All right. So let me talk about a fall real quick. The first fall that I thought of was found in Ezekiel 28. Write down Ezekiel 28 because I want you to look at it later. Ezekiel 28, it's speaking to the king of Tyre. It's also speaking about Lucifer, also known as Satan. I'm going to give you verse 2 real quick. It says, Say, son of man, to the ruler of Tyre, here's what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. And here's the connection. Here's why I said it's talking to two entities in this. Not only a physical man, but he's talking to the spirit behind that man, which is Lucifer. And it says in verses 11 through 19, I'm only going to read a little bit, but he says, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Was the king of Tyre in Eden? No, he was not. Many years later. So he was not in Eden. So he's talking to the devil. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald. Topaz, onyx, and jasper. Lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. These are all really beautiful gems and jewels. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. And on the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. That's a type of angel. For so I ordained you. Was the king of Tyre an angel? No, he was not. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until wickedness was found in you. Now, he goes on to say a number of other things about his beauty, but he was thrown out of heaven. Why? It was because of that first statement, I am God. And I don't know if you know this, but one of the great lies that'll come in the end times, the end days, you could find it all throughout Revelation. 2 Thessalonians talks about it a little bit, the son of lawlessness, but various things talking about the enemy. And the lie that he would have us believe is that we are gods, that we control things. We have it our way. Burger King got it from somewhere. But that's the lie that'll have you believe. And they wrap it in a pretty package. So you're like, yeah, I should feel good about myself. Yeah, I should do things my way. And as long as I'm a good person, everything's going to be fine. Hogwash. No one's a good person. The only one who's good is God. And unless he resides in you, you have no part in that. It's a daily thing, a daily yielding. I want to be good because I want to abide in him. He's good, okay? Here's some other scriptures really fast on this note in case you want to go back and look, and I encourage you to do so. Isaiah 14, 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm giving you just the chapters because the whole thing is worth looking through. Revelation 12, Luke 10, 18. John 8, 44. And 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Once again, these are online. I don't have a printed version, but if you have any questions, I can give those to you. One thing I wanted to call out as it pertains to those in leadership, the Bible in 1 Timothy 3, 6 speaks of overseers. And one of the things that he cautions them to consider when looking at overseers, someone who's in the church leadership of any kind, it says he must not be a recent convert, and the guard there is because he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. The devil was conceited, and so he received judgment. Don't be a recent convert thinking that, oh man, I'm getting elevated so fast, so high, that I'm the best thing there is, right? Conceit. All right? So it takes time. So if you're sitting there like, man, when is this church going to hear the Lord? I should be leading this. I should be doing that. What is wrong with them? Watch out. God will raise you up. The Word of God says he will raise you up in due time. He knows what you need, and he knows when you're ready for it. If you're wondering how Chris operates like, I want everybody to do everything, but there's no wisdom in that. So he says, wait until I tell you, and then they could do everything. Is that fair? All right. The next person that found a fall, once again, I'm only going to give you a nugget of this, is found in Daniel 4. It's the king Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody know that story? Okay, you will be blessed by it. It really happened. If you're ever wondering, did these things really happen, or were they just good stories? No, they really happened. Okay? He was made like an animal. He lost all his sensibility. He was grazing. Can you imagine? Which one of our guys wants to get down on all fours and pretend to graze? All right, nobody wants to do that. Neither did he. But his sin was so similar Darn, I didn't copy that in there. But he walked out onto his little, you know, colonnade or whatever one day, looking out across the city. He's like, look at all the stuff that I did. Man, I'm so awesome. Paraphrased. And God was like, boom. Hey, you know that dream that really freaked you out that you had to get Daniel to tell you what it meant? And he started crying. He's like, oh man, if this dream only counted towards one of your enemies, because you don't want this. Yeah, in that instant, it happened to him. And it wasn't until the time that passed, and we're talking years, y'all, just in case you're wondering. Then he restored his sanity, and he says, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. And then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. This man was wrecked, and it took grazing like a cow to do it. I don't know about you, but I would take anything it takes to ensure that my eyes are always on the King, his name lifted high, not my kingdom, not my ways. If it takes grazing like a cow, then so be it, because I want to be on his side, not on my side. Are you with me? We see it in the story of Naaman, 2 Kings 5. We see it in the story of Manasseh, following one of the good kings, his father, Hezekiah, and he became one of the most evil kings there possibly could have been. And he didn't see God until he got thrown in prison. So hear me today. I don't care if you need to graze like a cow, if you need to dip in muddy water, or if you need to go to prison. But I guarantee all of these things are better than burning in the eternal hellfire that is reserved for Satan and his angels. Are you with me? Okay. So when a preacher says, I got news for you, and you need to hear this news, and it is urgent, they're being serious. They're not pulling your leg. Some of us have been there and done that, and you don't want any part of it. Okay? All right. So the last fall, and I believe God wanted specifically to give us this, and it's found in the message. The reason why I'm reading in the message, because he said to, I don't actually like the message very much, so forgive me if you like it. Not knocking that, it's just, it's not my favorite read. There's a lot more to it, a lot more extra words, but in this instance, I've read this whole thing probably 4 or 5 times. It hurts every time, and it's so needed. So in this one, this is the fall of the Pharisee. Notice I'm not saying the Pharisees, because I believe Pharisees still exist today. What I'm actually saying is this is the fall of man's wisdom, man's ways, and the religious spirit. Are you ready? I hope so. Matthew 23:1-24 in the message says, now Jesus turned to address his disciples, along with the crowd that had gathered with them. The religion scholars and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law. So he actually praises them first. They're competent teachers. You won't go wrong in following their teachings on Moses, but be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polished veneer. Instead of giving you God's law as food and drink by which you can banquet on God, think about that for a minute. Instead of giving you God's law as food and drink on which you can banquet or feast on the Lord, they package it in bundles of rules, loading you down like pack animals. Who wants to be a pack animal in this place? Not seeing any hands. They actually seem to take pleasure in watching you stagger under these loads and wouldn't think of lifting a finger to help. Their lies, man, this part gets me. Check this out. Because, guys, we've all lived in some layer of this religion in our lives. But listen to this. Their lives are perpetual fashion shows. Embroidered prayer shawls one day and flowery prayers the next. They love to sit at the head table at church dinners, basking in the most prominent positions, preening in the radiance of public flattery, receiving honorary degrees, and getting called doctor and reverend. I'm going to throw another one in here. Pastor. Prophet. Evangelist. Some people are stuck on these titles, y'all. That's what this word is saying. Are you stuck on the title or are you stuck on him? If someone doesn't call you by your preferred title, do you get bent out of shape? Listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus, by the way. Sweet Jesus. This is sweet Jesus right now, okay? He's coming back as warrior Jesus, and it ain't going to be that sweet, just so you know. Don't let people do that to you. Put you on a pedestal like that. Listen, we said it a minute ago. You all have a single teacher, and you are all, including me, classmates. I'm going to say that again. You all have a single teacher. His name isn't Chris, John, Ashley, Jody, Yele. None of us. Derek. His name is Holy Spirit. And we are all classmates. Don't set people up as experts over your life, letting them tell you what to do. Guys, I know people that do this. There's a difference in counsel, and there's a difference in I won't make a decision unless that person tells me that I can. That's crazy. Don't do that. Save that authority for God. This is what his word says. Save that authority for God. So let me pause for 2 seconds. This is all a thought-for-thought translation, so it's in my NIV, it's in your King James, it's in the New King James, it's in whatever version you want to read. This is just putting it in more modern language. So I'm not saying anything that you're not going to find yourself. So look at it, study it. Reverend, what did he call it? Rabbi, in many translations. Teacher. Instead of teacher, it was rabbi. Various things like that. So the point is there, so I'm not speaking anything different than what is there. So just sidebar. Save that authority for God. Let God tell you what to do and how to do it. No one else should carry the title of father. You have only one father, and he's in heaven. So that father is capitalized, just so you know. Usually when we're talking about our earthly fathers, because God knows what he did, he gave us earthly fathers. He's not saying don't have an earthly father, right? Come on, let's not get weird. But I don't go to my dad and say, oh, father, blessed thou art. You know what I'm saying? Usually it's dad or pa, you know? That's the way we do it around my house. You probably have your term of endearment for your father, okay? And it's not to say that you won't have spiritual fathers or mothers. What it's saying is that is a title elevated for God and God alone. He is the father of all. He is the creator of all. He has that title. No one else has that title. Are you with me? Okay. And don't let people maneuver you into taking charge of them. There is only one life leader for you and them, and his name is what? Christ. Do you want to stand out? I love this. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. No one wants to do that these days. What do you mean? You mean the help that you need is not preaching and teaching? The help that you need is cleaning toilets? Yep. That's the help that I need. All right? And it has not have anything to do with me being better than. I'm looking for people all the time. There are people that know this, that I say, hey, guess what? You have the word today. And when they have the word and I'm not on the call of doing that in that moment, I do all the other things that don't get done. I don't take a break because there's no time. You want to know why there's no time? Because Jesus is coming back. And so I want to make sure things get done because they're not. And so I encourage you to say, you know what? I don't need to be a teacher. I need to be a servant. What can I do? Because that's one less thing that Chris is doing. And so I want to take a minute to celebrate. I had a long day of yard work, not this weekend, but previous weekend. And I had people just show up and they're like, hey, we're here. Put us to work. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Let's do this. And we got hours of yard work done in like a couple hours rather than multiple. I was planning on spending the entire day, which I was not super excited about because I had other things to do, life and family and all that too, because I have those. They didn't just disappear with ministry. But it was so nice to say, hey, we're here. We're doing stuff. Cool. Awesome. So thank you for the obedience and the servant hearts that you had. You want to stand out? Step down. I want to touch on something real quick. So I've had a lot of thoughts, a lot of vision and direction, things that the Lord has been giving me. Will I get into it today? Yeah, I think we'll get into some of it today. But another thing that the Lord has been cooking in me, and I've been hesitant to share because I don't have all the details, and rest assured, there are a lot of details coming, but I'm not rushing the process. I've given my yes. He knows that my yes is his, and so I just said, you put all the things together, and I'll go, and I'll do it. And so the Lord has spoken to me a lot around 24/7 intercession, is the way he said it to me. He used that word specifically. And it will not just be here at Abide. It'll be at multiple locations. And I've met with probably a handful of people already that are with us. And they've got their locations and things going on. So there's a lot of nuts and bolts in it. And I say that to say, some of the things that I'm going to call out today in the message as pertains to our heart, as pertains to what we need to do, as pertains to breaking the spirit of pride over our lives as well as our city, has to do with prayer. It has to do with worship. It has to do with humility. And it means that God's ways are better than my ways. That means that if I had a T-ball game today, well, guess what? I don't now, because he's more important. If I had worship practice, man, sorry, Ashley, but I'm going to go pray for my city for an hour and we'll move worship practice to another day. You know, does that make sense? All these other things fall down the list in terms of importance because his thing is elevated now. And that's really hard to hear because some people are like, well, what happens if my kid gets their feelings hurt because they really wanted to go do that thing? Well, if we're teaching our kids how to have proper values, it won't hurt their feelings because they know they have a mom and dad that loves them very much. And we will make sure that time is spent for family, and I hope that you do that. There's time spent in Sabbath, and I hope that you do that. But this is the time that God is calling us to forsake everything else and say how much we care. I'll give you an example. My kids in my house, we like to play video games together. And I have picked a day and I said, hey, no other days do you get other than this day. But there's been times that dad has canceled that day. And the look on their face at first was like, what? We get to do it together and you're taking family time. I said, well, hold on a second. This is a time where we get to have fun together. And any time that time is borrowed, that's the way I put it, that time is borrowed to do things for the Lord, it will be replaced, you know, multiple fold. I won't even put a measure on it because often what I do and what we're graced to do is we do get time back and I say, hey, guess what? It's not the day, but God's going to give it the day. And sometimes I even give him more time on another day. You know what I'm saying? So like God makes a way to ensure that we are taken care of. We have that joyous time as family because that's so important to not forsake family as you do ministry, as you follow the Lord. But is anything going to stop you from moving that? Well, this is tea time. Can't move that. You know, what will happen, right? Or this is time with so-and-so. Can't move that. That's sacred. No, the only thing that's sacred is his time. And if he chooses to take that time, he's going to make up for it later. Are you with me? All that takes balance. All that takes prayer and wisdom. Because just saying that, some of you are offended because you're thinking about it in the natural. Well, gosh, when my mother and father did that, they never gave it back. Or were they being led? And if they were, who was doing the leading? Mom and dad or Jesus? All right, because there are times that even I, Pastor Chris, am not led by Jesus. I'm led by Pastor Chris. And then I walk over to my kids, I get down on my knees, and I repent to them, and I say, guess who was doing the leading this time? Just so you know and I know, this was Dad. This is not how it's supposed to be. He's supposed to do the leading. I'm sorry. I repent before them, and then we go back on track. If you're not willing to have that honesty with people that are younger than you or older than you, who have authority over you, who don't have authority over you, you're missing a big chunk of it. Are you with me? Hopefully that all makes sense. So you want to stand out, step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. Had that a few times. Not super excited about it, but I have. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. When I read that part, never read it before in this scripture until I was doing studies for this. When I read that part, I felt the warmth of the Father's embrace and said, Chris, you need to know, I think your life counts for plenty. Do you believe that? You don't have to impress him. You don't have to jump through hoops. Dad, do you see me now? Dad, are you proud of me now? He's like, I've already seen you. I've seen you since the very beginning. My eyes have never been taken off of you. Your life counts for plenty. You are valuable. You are loved. Do you believe it? That's where we have to get. Because pride will also lie to you and say that you're not good enough. You got to do more. You got to do better. So-and-so has the same situation and they're doing it better than you. Be like them. It's not God. Just so you know, that's pride. That's the enemy wrapping up some nuggets of truth and letting you swallow the poison with it. Jesus gets a little more serious in this next part. Letting that sink in for a minute. Your life counts for plenty. This is not necessarily for you. This is a warning, but go with me here. Verse 13, I've had it with you. You're hopeless, you religion scholars, you Pharisees. He's speaking to the spirit of religion, okay? Not to you and I, to the spirit of religion. Frauds, your lives are roadblocks to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter and won't let anyone else in either. This is why it's so important to me that we have to break down religious and denominational lines. Do I love my upbringing? Absolutely. But I will not stop anyone from finding more of God. Whatever that looks like. Scripturally, obviously. But whatever that looks like, more of Jesus. You say that something stopped. You'd say that the gifts stopped. Show me in Scripture. You say that God stopped healing. Show me. You say that God stopped doing miracles. Show me. I'm willing to have the conversation, are you? But you have to show me in Scripture where it stopped. Because everything that I see, and I've studied Scriptures for a long, long time. I've had many, many evenings that Jennifer was talking about where I'm just eating and eating and eating, and I can't find it anywhere. Because when you're searching for something, how many of you know this? When you're searching for something and you're desperate for something, you're desperate for truth, you're desperate for more of God, there's not a single thing that's going to stop you from finding out. And so I've scoured over and over and over and over, and I couldn't find it. And so I said, God, I'm done with denomination. You didn't start it anyway. So if I lead a church because you asked me, you're the chief, I'm the servant, I want it to be a church that believes in your word. I wanted to be a church that searches it out together. And oh gosh, I wasn't going to go into this. Goodness. Okay. I didn't share this last time, and he's telling me I need to share it now. It's all wrapped in pride. Goodness. I'm gonna give you a little bit of the setup, and then I'm gonna give you the words so that there's context and explain it a little bit. Many of you know that in this journey of walking through fivefold, of walking through kingdom, I told you at the very beginning that I had no context for that because my upbringing, we didn't talk about it. You didn't talk about it. So keep it as simple as that. And so I had no context or no frame of reference for where we were going. So my simple prayer was this. God, I believe this is you. I believe that you want us to walk in the kingdom. I believe you want kingdom things to happen in this church and in this body and in this people, in this city. And so if you show me people who are walking in kingdom leadership so they can impart that to us, I will go. And so within weeks, I saw a bunch of bad words pop out. Apostle, that was a bad word. You didn't say that word. Saw those pop out. Prophet. Usually it was the kooky guy in the city that kind of came in and everybody was like, what's he going to do? What's he going to say? Who's in the crossfire? I don't want to be here today. Right? But they showed up. And I began to realize, wait a second, that's not a prophet. The evangelist, all I knew was Billy Graham. And I'm going to impart unto you this. As awesome as he was but one flavor. And God has multitudes. Then the shepherds, which I never wanted to be, because people put them up on a pedestal and say, you have to do everything, and if you don't, we don't like you, we'll talk bad about you, we'll run you down, but if you ain't doing the job that we expect you to do, you're out of here, dude. And then the teachers, the faithful teachers that get thrown into a classroom never to be seen of again. Oh, you got a teaching gift. Goodbye. How many of you know that none of that was biblical? None of that was kingdom. I mean, we just read a scripture here that said it this way, don't call anyone father. And how many of you know there's a religion or denomination, a subset of Christianity that calls a specific man father and repents to him and him alone? Come on, y'all. It's been there. And I have people who are Catholics that I love them. They love Jesus. They are not like the stereotype. So, you know, keep in mind, we have stereotypes and we have reality. There's truth into both of that. But he said, don't call them this. Don't call people who are leading a church apostolically a pastor, because that's not what they are. They're an apostle. And did you know that it was the apostle's job to share doctrine and teaching? And one might erroneously call them, well, now they're a teacher. No, they're not. They're an apostle. But they're setting the stage for what they see Jesus say and do, as the word says, foundation built on the apostles and prophets, and then we continue building, right? So I start seeing all this. And I say, okay, God, you bring these people. They will spend time here. They will spend time imparting into us. We'll learn from them. And we started doing that. But then the weird stuff starts happening. Some that are new start hearing tongues spoken out loud, and they're like, I don't know about that. Ain't sound like no tongue I ever heard of. I don't know if that's Jesus or if that's them, right? All these thoughts, all the pride. Well, healings. Ugh. Man, that person, I don't know if they got healed or they just were praying to get healed, or goodness gracious, I've seen them getting prayed to be healed dozens of times. I don't know that that's real. I don't know that I believe it. And this guy that he brought in, I don't know. I'm not sure if the Spirit of God is walking on them, because they're not as polished as I think that they should be. That evangelist, man, he didn't pray for anybody to get saved at the end. Not sure he's really an evangelist. That prophet, they didn't give me a word. Well, did you go up? No, but they didn't call me out. Aren't they supposed to? Listen, we start saying all this junk, and I'm calling it specifically that because there's probably harsher words that need to be used, but all this junk, and here's what God spoke to my spirit. And it hurt. And it scared me a little bit. Still does. He says, if I can't trust you with my soldiers, I will never send you my generals. See, a soldier, many of you that have been in the military know what I'm going to say. A soldier isn't polished. A soldier might still use foul language when communicating. A soldier doesn't have 10 steps in advance. They have a couple. And they don't see the bigger picture. But see, a general, when they come to convey a message, they know probably 50 steps ahead. They've seen the battle plans. They know the landscape. They know the ins and the outs. They've been doing it so long that they can read the terrain and they can react on a dime. When they communicate to us, it imparts peace and calm, because we know that they have things under control. Why? Because they've been spending time in the presence of the leader, the boss. You don't want to talk to a soldier because you're like, I need to speak to your manager. how many of us do that? Listen, what you're saying is probably correct. They've probably told you to tell me that, but I need to speak to your manager. I need to go above you because you don't have what I need. Or at least I don't feel that way. Oftentimes they do. And so that not only grieved me, but bothered me, because what is happening here is, if you have one of the fivefold ministry gifts and you have it all figured out, beginning to end, raise your hand. You have it all figured out. You are top notch. You are perfect in all your ways as it pertains to your gift. Raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to lower my hand because my hand is not raised. I was giving an example. So no hands are raised in the building. So that means when I move in healing, now today I really genuinely believe God said, listen, this is real and it's in the room. But there are times I'm going to say something and it's totally fine for me to be completely wrong. Did you know that? And for us just to move on. But if you get in your heart and you're like, I'm done with this church. They keep saying people are getting healed and no one's coming up to receive prayer. They keep saying that like this word of knowledge is going forth and it was baloney. They could have got that off of my mail. Right? We start making up these examples on how it could be wrong rather than stepping out into faith, like John said, believing before we see and just trusting that the Lord is moving and doing and working in us. And he's saying, if you can't work with and guide the soldiers that I send you, and they're going to mess up sometimes, but how do we get promoted? We get promoted by exercising that muscle. We get promoted by doing it and doing it as unto the Lord, and the Lord will raise us up when he's ready. But I'm not signing up to be in the business of killing any of his generals. He's raising up in here, in this room, and you've heard words, and you've had songs, and you've had sermons deposited into your spirit. Well, guess what? The first time you deliver those, it's probably going to sound pretty unpolished. And I could sit here, John could sit here, Alan could sit here, anyone who's done it could say, well, I could have delivered that better. Right? You could say that. But that's pride. And the things that we could say, and like Paul, like, listen, I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees. I know all of this better than you do, is basically what he was saying. But he said, I count it all as garbage, all as trash. None of it matters. I could say this, but I won't. I will boast only in the Lord, because it all came from him anyway. Are you with me? Chris got sidetracked a little bit, but that was a word that the Lord needed me to share with you. And so as people come in, as people come to our church, whether you know them or whether you don't know them, regardless of situation, I want you to look at it with the lens of Jesus and say, okay, first off, is it God? Well, I'm going to look at the big picture. Well, man, I can count on just one hand, like 30 different ways that God moved and encouraged somebody and a life was transformed. The devil doesn't want to do that. So he might have been trying to do a dance and get us distracted, but he wasn't doing anything in the room because lights got saved. That's a Jesus thing, not a devil thing. Are you with me? So we need to look at the full picture and say, what's happening in my church? Is God being glorified? Are lives being set free? And if the answer is yes, and there's a little bit of a dance over here where the devil's trying to distract, well, that just means the intercessors need to rise up and kick him back out on the curb where he belongs. All right? That doesn't mean that he has control. That doesn't mean that he's ruling. That doesn't mean that he's reigning. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but he has no power. And so his great lie, his great illusion is for us to be scared of him, thinking that he has power. He doesn't. His butt's doomed for the fiery pit already. So the only thing our job is, we're not actually fighting him. Our job is to remind him, hey, just so you know, your destination is this. You've already got your butt whipped by Jesus. His leg's bigger than mine. I don't have to do a thing. I just get to and tell you what just happened. All right? And when you think about it that way, it's not like, I'm going into battle. Hopefully I make it out alive. Jesus already won the battle. You don't have to do anything. You just get to rest and wait in his presence. And that is so much better. Amen? So much better. I want to leave you with a few things to just kind of seal this time. I don't know where Hezekiah is. Kaya, if you would, just play something on the keys for me. I want to remind you that pride will tell us that we know best, that God doesn't. That our words and our will is more important instead of his. And as we've been saying all morning long, this is where I said, I know this is so God, because this was already in my message and you guys all said it, but we must make every effort through the word and through our fellowship together to stay off the path of pride. How do you know what pride is? Well, read the word. It'll tell you what pride is. Spend some time in prayer. He'll remind you of where all those scriptures pointed to pride in your life and in the lives around you so that you don't fall into that pit. Pride convinces us that if we don't elevate ourselves, we will be nothing. We will be a nobody. God's word says that he will lift us up. God's word says that we are prized, that we are loved, that we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, and everything that the Father lavishes on him, including all of that love, is yours and mine as we abide in him. Why would I need to be lifted up? I'm already in the highest place that could possibly be because of Jesus. I need no elevation. I most certainly don't need anything that I manufacture myself. Are you with me? Titles start to go out the window. I was like, I don't care if I'm a pastor at this point. All I care is I got Jesus. That's it. Hopefully you're okay with that. Pride tells us that the gifts of God aren't for us, or if we try to pursue and walk in them, others will think differently than us. Or of us, sorry. Think differently of us. Man, if they hear me speak in tongues, someone's going to be judging me. Well, I don't care. If God says speak in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues. When God says interpret, I'm going to interpret. When God says give a word of prophecy, I'm going to give a word of prophecy. Why? Because he said eagerly desire all of these things. Eagerly desire. Because they're the Father's. And in order to use them correctly, I have to spend time with the Father. And who doesn't want more time with him? The last scripture, and this was so just on the nose for me, is even the Pharisees, even the people of that day, tried to get Jesus' own relatives on their side. And in one instance, we see John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verses 26 through 30. It says, they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look at him. He's baptizing and everyone is going to him now. John could have said, we're going to stop that. That ain't happening in my house. I'm the best baptizer, teacher, and et cetera, that there's ever been. We can't have none of that. No. To this, John replied, a person can only receive what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I already told you I am not the Messiah, but I was sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Some of us need to hear that again. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. Remember the days when we used to quote that? I remember growing up quoting that all the time. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't explained well. But man, when I read that this time, I was like, there are so many times that Chris has tried to become greater instead of becoming less. There have been so many times Chris has been unrightfully controlling or guarding of the bride. And Chris needed to be reminded that the bride is the bridegroom's. How many times do we do that, though? Well, in my church, I want it to be done this way. I want them to sing this song. I want them to preach this message. I want them to give this type of altar call. Rather than remembering that the bride belongs to the bridegroom. And if we're listening to the bridegroom, Jesus, he's going to tell us exactly what he wants, how he wants it, and when he wants it. Because we take up the position of John the Baptist, and we are the friend that attends the bridegroom, and we wait and listen for him. want us to stand together today, and I want us to take a heart of repentance. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14 is right around where it starts, but I encourage you to read for context. But one of the ways that pride is broken, and we may continue this another week as well, because I had a whole lot more, but one of the ways that this pride is broken is through worship. Because locked in worship, locked in real worship, the worship Jesus talks about to the woman at the well, worshipers that worship in spirit and truth, it means a humbling, a bowing down of yourself and saying, I don't care how I look, how I sound, what people think, but I am not worthy to stand on the same ground that Jesus is unless he bids me come. And so, Lord, I bow to you and I say, have your will, have your way in this place. I will remain low until you tell me to get up. But it's having that humility and saying, God, I have tried so long to do things my way, to say that my way is the only way. No more do I want to do that. I've tried to control all these things, Lord, and I repent for it. So I want us to just lift our hands together, and we're gonna pray a prayer of repentance to the Lord. It's nothing spectacular or fancy. I just encourage you to say it with all of your heart and soul. But Jesus, I renounce all of the ways that I have partnered with the enemy, that I have partnered with pride, that I have taken your kingdom for myself. Have your way in my life. Rule and reign. You are the master of my house and all that I have. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that today? Yes, let's walk that out today. I encourage you, if you'd like to linger, please linger. But we love you and we bless you and we look forward to seeing you this week. Please don't forget, if you've made out your offering, Pastor Glenn has some baskets at the back. You can also give online in the app. Pastor Glenn actually has the church app on his phone. Come on, somebody. And so if you would like the app, you can come talk to me, and I can help make sure you get that on there. I can share the link, all the above. But it's going to bless you. It's going to keep you in the loop. And that's what we want. We want to be a family that has good communication. So let us know if you have any questions. We love you, and we'll see you next time.